Rocco.
Of William Tausch.
With Steve the Homer True, the GOAT, and the Liar.
And as our cousin sub of the day, cousin subs, we believe in better. Don't shake your head. Did you lie or not to begin the show?
Who would call someone a GOAT and then, and they're a liar?
Both things can be true.
Name another GOAT that you have ever referred to of that you also equally mention liar.
Thanks to you, John Wooden.
Yeah, but you don't necessarily believe that. You would never call him that. I would, but you wouldn't.
No, I believe you that he was.
So when you talk about Johnny Wooden, you go greatest coach, greatest cheater.
I don't ever talk about John Wooden. All right, I talk about you
all
the time.
I give up. Go ahead, move on.
Steve the Homer True is our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs.
By the way, I did some work on Nordgaard. Scored 18 points in the NBA.
Oh!
With the Bucks. Excuse me. Well, yeah, it's the only team. He played like 100 times. I didn't realize he's a Polish superstar. American. Played in Poland.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, but yeah, he played just for the Bucks. 13 games. That's special. I don't know if he lies or not. I don't know.
He's not the GOAT, and we don't know if he tells the truth all the time or not. By the way, there you are obviously the voice of Marquette basketball. Are there other Marquette players that kind of fit into that? They were great college players, but they had basically a cup of coffee in the NBA. Like, how long did Travis Diener last in the NBA?
He much more than that. Now, Marcus Howard would be the example of that. Marcus Howard is now scoring just massive points in a professional league in Spain. He played a little bit with Denver, and then I think he did get as many as 20 points in a game. But the greatest short tenure of a Marquette player in the NBA is Ali McGuire, Al McGuire's son. I believe he played 2 minutes. I'll have to check this for the New York Knicks. No one has had a NBA career shorter than his, I believe.
A great 2 minutes, however. Jesse, how are you managing to now take one word or one word plus explanation texts about the Chucky Hepburn transfer portal and getting your Bucks random names for the contest?
Yeah, they're buried. They're buried at this point, so that's going to make it tough. I did have this one up from earlier that we can review. This is from Adam in DeForest. The NCAA will never put in place a rule that restricts individual players' ability to transfer. Could the situation be fixed by limiting how many different players a team can suit up on a rolling 2, 3, or 4 year period? Make it harder on a team to accept or play that many transfers.
I like the fact that it's an attempt at structure of some sort. I think it's rich that, and I'm not disagreeing with the point, but Homer, there was a time, I refer to him as Jared Juhan, who is one of our teammates at ESPN and 620 WTMJ in Milwaukee. It was actually Jared Utoff, but the guy that wanted to transfer from Wisconsin to Iowa, and Bo Ryan wouldn't release him from his scholarship. Remember that?
That's happened many times, I think.
And yes, it was not the first. And now, again, we went from what I would call a fiefdom, where these overlords could decide your ability to play somewhere else, to now they can do whatever the hell they want. You can play for 5 different schools in 5 different years, right?
Now referred to as an AJ Store. I think he's at 7 schools in 7 years going back to high school. But the list is so long, I don't think you can get it on Twitter without having more at the bottom of it. But, he's right up there. While it's a pain for coaches, of which I don't have a whole lot of compassion given the amount of money they now get paid.
Agreed.
It's fair. You should not have that control over a kid. So 844-770-3776.
Let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to our buddy Sparky in Sussex. Sparky, good morning. How you doing today?
I am doing well. How are you guys doing?
I am thrilled, pleased as punch to have Homer in as our cousin sub of the day.
It's a good day. I got my lie-in.
The first, you got your first lie-in. Won't be your last today, I'm guessing. What do you got, Sparky?
Well, you know, my word is I'm kind of contemplative. I'm kind of wondering about the future of fan interest in sports. I mean, I grew up in an age where, you know, players didn't change teams. Maybe that wasn't a good thing for them before free agency. But I knew every player on every team. And I was a I've always been a huge college basketball fan. I loved seeing the guy who'd been there 5 years. And you just don't get that anymore. With everything's one and done, either going to the NBA or going to the transfer portal. And I kind of wonder, when my grandson is old enough to be a sports fan, what's it going to be like? Is he going to just follow somebody for 1 year? Or is this just going to all be a big big betting operation and nobody cares about the stories anymore?
That would be bad news for me, that's for sure, as a storyteller. Homer, what do you – that's a really good
point,
Sparky.
That's a major concern, yes. There's no way to know. At what point does a fan say, I love the school, but this guy's no more a student-athlete, he's a pro. Or, that's the big fear. Yep. And no one knows, but they're trying to hide stuff as much. I mean, if everybody knew how much every player in college was getting, that would not be a good thing. We just don't know how bad it would be for the interest in the teams.
Sparky, how do you view it? What are you going to do?
Well, I mean, I'm always going to be a sports fan, but I don't watch college basketball near as much as I used to. I mean, I enjoy the game and the competition, but it's always a new name to me. I know nothing about their background. I haven't seen them before, and as soon as I say, hey, I'd like to watch this kid, he's gone. The next year, it seems like it's always a whole new team, and obviously more and more we're seeing that. We're going to see it with the Badgers, too, so kind of sad about that as well.
On the flip side, if you were an Alabama guy, would you really care when Alabama goes to the Final Four with 9 new players on their roster?
No, but I would never be an Alabama fan.
Well, I understand, but let's say Wisconsin did the same thing. Or Marquette did the same thing. Like, if you win, people say, well, I just got to know these guys that just got here and got us to the Final Four. Like,
yeah, UConn's living it right now. UConn's living it now.
Right.
And they love them.
I think it would be a trade-off between success and knowing who the team is, knowing their background. And, I mean, that's always been a huge part of it for me.
Me too.
It's a success, but you know, like I say, I know you're a storyteller, and without that, I don't know. It just seems like everything is going to gambling now, and it's not about the player's performance; it's about his numbers.
It's all transactional.
And, yeah, very transactional. I'm kind of sad about that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Thanks for the call, Sparky. We appreciate it. This is why this is so difficult. Is because I think you can say that players having this power and this earning power and having the freedom to go where they want are good things. Anybody who says we should go back to the old system so we can feel better about rooting for our favorite players who are at our school or our alma mater for 5 years is just being selfish. I'm not okay with that. I'm just saying, there's got to be a better way. And I don't understand why we can't find a better way when, Homer, as you point out, there should be smart people who have ideas that can find a better way.
The person I will call, probably will do it next Thursday, you can call, is Jay Billis. I think he's the smartest, and I think he would have answers to those questions. I suggested when this first broke that coaches are going to start making less money because they're going to have to give it to the players. And he goes, what do you mean? Hey, there's so much money, they don't even know what to do with all the money they got. So, you know, coaches haven't been getting less. But I'm curious to ask him because those are great questions.
I look forward to hearing him on the Homer Hour. We need to get to Rob Domofsky at the bottom of the 10 o'clock hour. He is obviously a huge college basketball fan. He has a college basketball playing son. Someday he will have a second one playing college basketball because Roan is a really good player as well. But before we can do that, we need to play trivia. Jesse, what's today's category from Tyler? He made it through all 5 days.
He did, and I got to admit, I have previewed the questions. I think today he's finishing the week strong. I think that today is his best work.
That's what I like to hear.
I'm going to miss him. Maybe we bring him back next week. This has been nice not having to
make
trivia all week.
You're not
going to
miss him. You're going to miss not having to do the work.
That's true. Yeah, his questions have been mostly subpar. Today's category.
You're such a tier one friend.
Homer trivia. Questions.
That's clever.
About people named Homer.
That was smart because then you can know it's all true. You can't assume anything that had to do with me is actually accurate. I could have made it up. Nicely done.
I'm not sure it's all accurate. We'll all find out together with caller 10. 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776, caller 10 to play Wilde and Tausch Trivia, presented by Tier 1 Tyler, Homer Trivia. Caller 10 plays next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Another first time contestant? Is that three this week? It's at least two.
Yeah, it's two, I think. We had one, but back-to-back days of first-time contestants. That doesn't happen too often.
All right, well, let's welcome him in. It is Glenn in Big Bend. I'm a poet. I didn't even know it. Glenn, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Does it bother you that Homer openly lies about things?
Yeah, I'm used to it by now.
Fair.
I'll take that as a compliment. Thank you.
That was an outstanding response. All right, I've got the questions. Hopefully you've got the answers, Glenn. Here we go. Question number one.
All right.
Homer, not this Homer, but Homer wrote the Odyssey, which follows which of these Greek heroes? Aristotle, Odysseus, or Giannis?
I'm going to go with B, Odysseus.
You would be correct. And that was a real... Tyler has... You know what you ask for as a coach, as a parent? You ask for you to take your setbacks, learn from them, and improve. He nailed that first question. And I love the category, too.
The only thing he could have done better would have been Giannis's brother.
That's an inside joke for Homer, because that's Homer's...
It's Homer trivia.
...shtick, yeah. Mm-hmm. But not that Homer. All right, question two, Glenn. Here we go. In The Simpsons, Homer Simpson works the majority of his career at which of these jobs? Does he work at the nuclear power plant, the beer bottling factory, or is he an astronaut?
A, nuclear power plant.
He did have that brief gig as Dancing Homer at the Isotopes games, and then they lost. But yes, nuclear power plant. Two for two. Let's get a perfect Homer trivia. Question number three.
This one might get interesting.
Especially given his predilection for dishonesty. Steve the Homer True was born in which of these Division I college sports towns? Was he born in Madison, Wisconsin? College Station, Texas? Or South Bend, Indiana?
Steve, South Bend, Indiana.
That is the
Homer, is that right?
Correct answer I have on my sheet.
The home of Indiana University at South Bend, as reference was made to the college atmosphere of that town, right?
That's exactly what we're referring to, yes.
I apologize to Homer Drew. I should have said Bethel College, because that's also a university in South Bend, though I never knew it living there.
And they didn't pay you to go to Arizona. All right. Well, Glenn, a perfect 3 for 3. You've got 4 entries into our drawing later in the show. Did you also enter with a random Bucks player's name for our 2 tickets we're giving away?
Not yet.
Well, you've got 2 minutes to do so. So the text number, 844-770-3776. Hey, Glenn, thanks for playing. This was fun. We appreciate you.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
So, Homer, we got that fact about your life correct. That's a good thing. Good job by you and by the world's greatest entertainer.
Yeah, do you know my, did I tell
Tyler.
You my brush with greatness in South Bend?
In the commercial break or some other time in your life?
I don't know. You're in charge. Who's the head coach at Baylor?
What sport?
Of basketball. It's not Bryce
Scott
Drew.
Scott Drew.
Okay.
A lot of Drews.
So Homer Drew was the basketball coach at Bethel College, Bible college I didn't know existed. And at the time I was the head tennis pro at the Racquet Club, which was about half a mile away, he went to them and said, I'd like to get some free court time because I'm also the tennis coach. We don't have any money. Can you just let us play here to practice? And they said, no, we don't do that. You'd have to pay the fee. He called back a week later and said, all right, I'll pay for the courts, but can you get my son a job as maintenance? He worked maintenance at the tennis club I worked at because they agreed to do that. Hey, but they bought court time, and the future famous coach of Baylor was doing maintenance at the Racquet Club while I was the head tennis pro, though I actually didn't know that either.
So he's the head coach at Baylor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then is his brother the coach at Grand Canyon University? Isn't there another Drew that's coaching?
Yes, the one that was the outstanding player. And yes, I think it's Grand Valley, Grand Canyon, which is it? But yes, he's coaching there, and they've made the tournament, and he's done very well after being fired at Vanderbilt, I believe, and they haven't done as well after him as they did with him.
The Grand Canyon Antelopes, yes, Bryce Drew, Bryce, middle name Homer.
And Homer Drew once honored me at the banquet for the Milwaukee Classic because I had informed him that I bought his book so that I could find out what the nickname was of the college I attended, IUSB. I claim I'm the only person to ever go to a school and not know its nickname, and I didn't. And he then honored me by saying, I'd like to thank Homer for buying the 8th copy of that book. I don't know that was true. He probably sold a few more.
Pretty good self-deprecating line,
yes.
Though. I like it.
Yes.
All right. The phone lines are closed for the random Bucks name entries.
Oh.
To win your 2 tickets to game 1 of the Bucks first round series against the Indiana Pacers. Jesse, would you say you were inundated with entries?
There are over 200
yeah.
of them to sort through, which is
I
awesome.
I didn't have time to put on my Andrew Bogut jersey and make an entry, but I'm not.
That would have been a good one.
That would have been a good one. So while we talk with Rob Domofsky, I will be busy sorting all the names on a fancy spreadsheet for us to do our drawing. So that's how that'll work.
We will talk Packers football and also a little college basketball as well. When Rob Domofsky, who we'll see if he's in the room where they repainted at Casa de Domofsky. Remember, his last video appearance, they were painting, so he went to Lambeau. We'll see if he's in the room where it happened and see if Seafoam is gone. With Rob Domofsky from ESPN, scheduled to appear next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
If we're going to make fun of me for selling hangers on Facebook Marketplace, then we're going to advertise the golf clubs that Rob Domofsky has currently available on Facebook Marketplace.
Are they left-handed?
They're not left-handed. Dang. And I'm guessing that there's only a few birdies left in them because he got all of them out of them when he was playing with them. He is the star Packers reporter. Rob Domofsky is Mark Tauscher's favorite Packers reporter. And he joins us now. Rob, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, Jason. Homer, these are the clubs that I shot 68 with in the club championship.
How much are they? Right, how here. Much are they on sale for?
They're only on. They're pretty. They're well worn, well used. They're on sale for $150.
I'll give you 100 right now. 100 in cash.
No, I'm gonna wait.
Oh.
I've got some hangers, what? Though, that I can sell you.
You won't take 100 right now? I want to have the clubs that Rob Domofsky shot 68 with in the club championship. And you won't sell them for $100? No, he doesn't have to sign anything. I didn't even ask what kind they are. They could be top flights for all I know. And you won't sell them for $100 to me.
No, not yet. I just put them up yesterday. I got to see what the market looks like.
Yeah, are you getting a lot of offers?
I got 3 or 4 inquiries. I'm not a big seller. I just was cleaning out some stuff.
Clearly not.
I sold a couple things last week.
All right, what do I have to pay to get them?
I don't understand.
What do I have to pay to get them?
I don't remember.
Asking price is $150.
I know, and I offered $100. He said no. All right, I'll go as high as $125, but that's it. If I don't get a $25 deal because I'm Homer, screw you.
I don't do shipping. You have to be local.
I didn't say you had to ship. You are finding ways to prevent me from buying them. All right, you have 5 seconds left. Who's got the clock? 4, 3. You sell them to me or not?
Wait for the next bidder. I'm getting $150 for these.
Wow, I like it.
I'm out of
Sticking
this segment.
Sticking to his guns.
I'm out of this segment. You guys take it off.
You can't do that.
My grandfather was a car dealer on the south side of Chicago, and he would say, I got the car, and you got the money, and it's going to stay that way.
Oh, all right. All right. Wow. Well, I just lied again. I am going to stay in this segment. So, all right. Go ahead.
Exactly. Whatever. See? Yeah. So much for the only lie of the day.
Yeah.
So, Rob, before we talk Packers or what else, I think you got a guitar. Did the guitar sell already?
Guitar sold.
That was nice. Are you quitting the guitar? Are you quitting or
no,
are you just going
to? That was electric. I'm sticking to acoustic because no one in my family likes to hear the electric guitar. So.
Okay. Before we get to other items for sale and Packers draft talk, we were talking about Chucky Hepburn and AJ Store earlier.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have one college basketball player already. You're going to have another one a year from now. You love college basketball. You have college basketball coaches who are friends of yours.
Yeah.
I am conflicted by this because I want student athletes getting their fair share from a multi-billion dollar world, but I also want some structure. You're a smart guy. Help me find the solution.
There's a couple fixes in this, Jason. I think that coaches have buyouts in their deals, right? Like when players sign NIL, put buyouts in there. If they don't stay for the second year, they owe some of it back. That's one solution. I think the other solution is to go back to limiting transfer. Now it's unlimited transfers. I realize it doesn't necessarily have to do with NIL, but it's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to transfer one time without sitting out. And if your coach gets fired or leaves, then you can leave. That's fine. Because let's face it, guys commit to coaches. They don't commit to schools.
Mm-hmm.
Women, same way. I thought it was interesting because UWGB doesn't have a coach right now and they got a commitment from a transfer, which I
saw
like,
that.
How do you commit to a program when you don't know if the coach there wants you? But anyway, I think you put buyouts in the NIL stuff, you limit the transfer stuff and make it harder to transfer. And that's it. I mean, I don't know what else you can do. I think that people are disgusted with college basketball. And I think those are the people who are fans of a team. Okay. Like if you're a fan of Wisconsin, if you're a fan of UWGB, who's losing their best player, or any mid-major is going to lose their best player every year, it sucks. But I think there's still a lot of people that just are fans of college basketball, and the games they're still really good. The tournament, I don't know what the ratings were. The tournament was just as exciting as it ever was. So I think there's so many people that just watch college basketball to gamble on it that those people don't care. The only people who are really, really bothered by this are the people who are fans of one specific team, which I'm not necessarily a fan of a specific team, although I do like to see the state teams do well, all of them, all four of them. And obviously, you know, in this case, it hurts a couple of them. I think Milwaukee might have lost their best player, too, if I'm not mistaken.
So do you I don't know if you want me putting it out on the street, the coaches that you have close relationships with.
No, but that's fine.
You know Greg Gard. Yeah. Todd Kowalczyk is a very good friend of yours. What did they, when you talk to guys, because I know you still keep in touch with them, yeah. What did they tell you? Like, my argument is, if we're going to treat them like students but also like pros, then we probably have to have the structure that the NFL or the NBA has of certain window for free agency or a certain window for the transfer portal, a salary cap. So one school can't pay $50 million to its players and the other school can only pay 10. What do they tell you?
Right. Well, I will just use Toledo as an example with Kowalczyk. Not this season. The season before, he had the player of the year in the conference, Ray J. Dennis. Played, I believe, 2 years for Todd and was played 2 years somewhere else. So he's got 1 year left. And Baylor, he ends up at Baylor, and Baylor offers him – I'm just going to throw this out there. I don't know what's exact. But Baylor offers him $300,000 and a car. Kowalczyk's like, you got to go. I can't I would be doing you a disservice to keep you, to tell you you should stay here because I can't pay you that. Now, there are things that schools like that are doing to try to up it. I mean, Green Bay, I believe, from what I was told, tried to raise near six figures to keep Noah Reynolds, and it wasn't enough. So,
Wes Hodkowitz didn't chip in, apparently.
Not to the athletic department, probably the journalism school. But it's just, I don't know, they're the people in it are just trying to deal with it. They're trying to live through it. And, like, it's not just – like, there's guys at Duke that are entering the portal, too. I mean, it's not just, like – it's not just the mid-majors, the Wisconsins of the world who are on the fringe of power teams, you know. It's everybody. So I don't know what you do other than maybe do what I said is put some buyouts in there and force these guys to be accountable. I think the interesting thing with Chucky, if I heard this right – was I asked, why did this happen so late? And apparently he waited for his last NIL payment, which was like this week, and then went into the portal. So make that last NIL payment after the portal closes.
I know there's a great column from Jim Polzin in this morning's State Journal and on Madison.com breaking it. I mean, look, Chucky Hepburn has a Badgers tattoo on his leg. He said the day that Howard Moore was celebrated at the Kohl Center, talked so much about what it meant to be a Badger. But maybe it's kind of like you said with Todd. Maybe the offer he got was one he couldn't refuse.
Right.
That's what Jim said.
Here's the crazy thing, Jason, is, I mean, Chucky's a good player or whatever. He averaged 9 points a game, and someone's going to pay him $500,000 or whatever. The one thing I wonder, and Homer, you probably have a better feel for this being around – a program that's, you know, probably got a lot of donors. At what point do the donors say, yeah, okay, we just shelled out $500,000 for this guy and he averaged 9 points a game and we didn't get out of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, right? Maybe, I don't know, does Tom Strong still donating to Marquette? What point does Tom Strong or whoever say, you know, I'm not going to put up this
Excuse money? Me, sir, there is no connection between NIL and the school. And you said, please keep that straight. That is a very important part of this. No one knows exactly what's being offered to be able to decide. I do have a story of a father a couple of years ago who told me the first year that what people didn't know is that players had NIL agreements, and then when they didn't play well, they didn't get the money. And I said, wait a minute, you have to have a contract. And he said, yes, it is moving in that direction to prevent that. But how you would agree to something and not know for sure that you're getting it speaks to it being done by generally the family. The parents are kind of the go-between with the NIL, which, of course, has no connection to the school.
Yeah, you know, Johnny Kinzinger, DePere players at Illinois State, had a great freshman year. As he started to play more, I started to see ads for, you know, Johnny was in an ad for one of the local healthcare providers, like the whatever the Bloomington, Illinois equivalent of Belen or Purveya or Aurora is. He, you know, he was in a commercial for that. You know, their gas, the Quick Trip or whatever it is.
But you see very few ads. With all this NIL money, right. I ask you, how many ads have you seen of college students other than Caitlin
Clark? That was going to be my point, Homer, is that Illinois State, you know, they seem to actually, that's the way they can do it because they probably don't have massive donors just willing to fork over money. You actually have to follow the rules of the NIL and get endorsements. Now, the school is helping set that up, which I assume is legal. I don't know. But you're right. Most of it is not true endorsement. It's here's, you know, and it's like, you know, pretty much you can do anything you want now. You can cheat. Cheating is legal. And somehow I thought I saw Rick Pitino still found a way to break the rules and was contacting NIL or and offering NIL deals when he shouldn't have. So I guess you can still cheat, even though it's cheating is mostly legal. It's crazy, though. I would not want to be a college basketball coach.
You are involved. I don't know if you will tell me because you wouldn't sell me the damn golf clubs. Are you aware or have you done any negotiating to get some NIL money for your son?
Yeah. No, he averaged, I love him. He averaged 8 points a game on a team that went 5-20. We're going to wait to see the Appleton. Nobody in Appleton.
Hold on. You make fun of me. I had a friend associated with the school where your son plays no longer mm-hmm. who claims that they did you play Stevens Point this year?
Yes.
All right. That they had that somebody on Stevens Point's team, Stevens Point's team was getting some NIL money, which could be the case. Division III, sure. You want somebody to stay and not go somewhere else.
Right.
The NIL, not of course associated with the school in any way, could.
That's what I will say. I love you. You love to put that disclaimer in there. I will say Stevens Point's best player is still at Stevens Point. So
okay.
Maybe you're onto something.
All right. Talking with Rob Domofsky from ESPN.com. Let's shift gears to the Packers. You have your NFL Nation mock draft coming up soon, right? Yeah. We're less than a week away from the actual draft. You want to always look smart, which isn't always easy. Because, not because you're not smart, but because Goody does a great job of limiting. Yeah. I'm sure Goody was thrilled to see the gold jacket Hall of Fame center discussion that blew up after our conversation last week.
Wow.
I'm curious if you're having to hazard some guesses. How educated are they, and who do you have on the Mel Kiper / Rob Domofsky big board for the Packers at 25 if they stay put?
Got my notes right here. The show, the mock draft TV show, airs on Tuesday. It is taped, so it will be taped before that, which means we have to make the picks before Tuesday. We are approaching that exercise here shortly. I have reached out like I do every year to various people around the league, and every year, Jason, the more people I talk to, the more confused I am. So I'll be perfectly honest. Since I've been doing this at ESPN, this is, I believe, the 11th year of it. I'm 0-10, or maybe this is the 12th year. I'm 0-11, whatever it is. I even texted some Packers people last year, Goody included, basically saying, look, I really want to get it right. I'm 0-4. These are the 6 or 7 players I'm considering. Is there anybody in here I shouldn't? Not asking who. You know, I'm trying every way. And all I got was, hopefully you don't go 0-12 or whatever it is. So
that's nice.
Not getting a lot of help from inside Lambeau. So you sort of rely on agents and scouts from other teams. But it's near impossible, especially at 25. I've got a lot of tackles. If Cooper DeJean is there, I think they probably take him. Although, from what I was told, it seemed a lot more likely several weeks ago that he was high on their board. It may not be so high now. Not necessarily because he's done anything, but because maybe they're not sure if he's a corner or a safety or a nickel or whatever he is, and that they're starting to realize tackles. You know, there's just more choices among the tackles. Look, I don't think Cooper DeJean is going to be there at 25, mm-hmm. So and we're not allowed to trade up. But if he's there, I think the Packers would probably take him. I just don't know if he's going to be there. And it also depends on who else is there, right? Like if Mims and Guyton and all these tackles are gone and DeJean's there, then they take DeJean. If there's two or three tackles they like also, then maybe they take one of those guys. Wouldn't it be funny if this is the year that they pick a receiver even though they don't need one?
It would be a contrarian approach, that's for sure. You're not allowed to trade up in the NFL Nation draft. Certainly Goody is.
Right. Yes.
Do you think... I mean, I know he dropped some breadcrumbs about this at the NFL meetings, the idea that, hey, they had 13 draft picks last year, they had 11 or 12 the year before, maybe they don't need 11 this year. What likelihood do you believe there is that they will go up in the first round, maybe use number 58 to do it?
Yeah, I think there's a decent chance of it because he's moved a lot in the first rounds before. He said, though, he's not going up to the top 10, or at least, I mean, if we're to believe anything that they say at this point.
Right.
But in this case, I sort of do believe him because he's just like, unless you're going up to get a quarterback, it's too expensive to move up to the top 10. I mean, I wrote my story this week exactly kind of what it would take to get that high, and it was like, you know, the two and the three, or the two and the four, or whatever it was. It would have been too expensive, but to get up from 25 to 20, sure, or 25 to 18, I could see it. I mean, what was the year when they took Jaire Alexander? They started at 14, they traded back to 27 or something, and then ended up going back up to 18 to take Alexander. So, I mean, he's traded a decent amount. I think that if all those guys we're talking about start to fall early and he feels like he's got to go up to get one of them, then I could see it. On the flip side, I don't think they need more picks, but if they get to the 20s and all the guys they like are gone, do they go back, and maybe add another second round pick where maybe they feel like there's more, more value. Like I know a lot of people have the who's the inside linebacker? Cooper, is that his name? A lot of Edgerrin Cooper, I think. Really terrible with these names. But I think, a lot of people have them taking him in the second round. There might be guys like that that they feel like there's just better value, early to mid second round and end up, trading back if that's the case.
Edgerrin Cooper is from Texas A&M. They also had Peyton Wilson, who's a linebacker from North Carolina State, in for a visit. Yeah. I will admit, that's the one tip that I look at closely is who comes in for a visit. Now, Jaire didn't visit. Lots of guys don't visit, but it is interesting who they have had in for some of those visits.
They had the cornerback McKinstry in, right? But he had a medical issue, so you wonder what that. I mean, just I somewhere someone should keep a chart of all the guys who visits and what the percentage of ones that are taken. I've never done it. The other thing too is it's not like the list of people who visit is just readily available. There's reported visits, but they don't add up to 30. And we know that you can bring 30 guys in, and I'm sure they're using all 30. So there's guys that have visited that, that hasn't even been reported until sometimes after the fact, though, a player will say, I came in for a visit.
Right.
But it would be interesting to chart, just what percentage of guys they picked that were pre-draft visits.
All right, last thing before Homer gets after you again and we let you go for not selling
your clubs.
I'm not
getting after him again. I'm not begging.
You were at Lambeau a couple weeks ago on video because your house was being painted. The most important question I have is, did you paint that room the same color it was before? Or was that room not painted?
No, it was vastly different. Different room. It was the laundry room. It was the laundry room that Tausch that I had showed that had all the different swaths of test colors. That was being painted. I was told, though, that in the state that the laundry room is currently in, I'm not allowed to show that on internet television in the current state. So maybe next week it will be put back together that I'm allowed to show that. But the boss said no this week.
All right, Rob.
I can't let Rob go because I want to clarify something. I don't want to be accused of being inaccurate.
Or lying.
As far as NIL, two things remain disallowed by NCAA rules. You cannot pay a player. And two, players are not supposed to get any compensation tied to performance. And recruits cannot sign any NIL deal contingent on going to any particular school.
I was told, Homer, that there was a player who, from the state of Wisconsin, who transferred the last cycle, not this year, but the year before, that went to a high major school that was getting bonuses for every game he scored in double figures.
Well, that may be so. And I would say it's very likely. But please know that I have stated to you the standards that exist, reinforcing Jason Wilde's belief that they have no clue what the hell they're doing. Right,
yeah,
Jason?
I think that's
fair. Recruits cannot sign any NIL deal contingent on going to any particular school. I ask both of you, don't you believe that every decision on a particular school is now based on NIL contingency?
Yeah. No doubt. And here's the thing I
not
wonder.
Not your son, though. I don't call, not your son.
Like 5 years from now, is somebody's Final Four appearance going to be vacated because they violated NIL things, right? I mean, way back when you used find out.
Yes, yes, everyone. Everyone.
There was no Final Four.
Right, every
school.
There was
no Final Four in 2022, 2023.
If I was a school, I would just announce that I just want everyone to know we are not violating NCAA rules. Because, yes, I believe maybe every team in the tournament.
Yeah, probably.
Nate Oates can take that banner down right now. All right, that's it for us. I will see you Monday for Goody and Wednesday for our local TV appearance together. Rob, you're the best. We appreciate you, man.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. We'll be seeing you.
We may have gone over time with Rob, but we had important things to discuss, including college basketball and the Packers draft. More with Homer, our cousin, sub of the day. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Thanks to Rob Domofsky. Always great to spend time with him. All right, one question, then I need to tell you about Steinhoffels, and then we need to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. Homer, the fact that you read those alleged rules that the NCAA has in place that clearly no one follows, does that not tell you further that despite these smart people who haven't been able to come up with a solution, they haven't really tried?
No, I don't agree with that again.
How can you not agree with that? They put rules in place that they're not even bothering to enforce.
Again, my premise was they let it run as long as it could. When they couldn't anymore, they're trying.
Threw their
hands
up.
Well, no, they haven't. I mean, they haven't found out a way to do it. They realize that's stupid. So. This is the result of them waiting, and I would say if you have a legitimate complaint, it would be that they probably didn't try to work through the political avenues to set up some law that would have supported the system that they had. But
also a wise man who's even older than you are, I think, our friend Tom Oates, who you used to have on Old Man Radio.
Correct.
How did you say farewell to guests on that portion of the program?
Hope to have you on again if you're still with us.
Pointed out that while maybe the WIAA doesn't need right now to have NIL rules, the fact that they're working to get rules on the books is actually the opposite of what the NCAA did and being preemptive about it as opposed to reactionary. Do you agree with that premise from Radio
Coles? We'll see what happens.
Yeah,
maybe the difficulty that they have will reinforce my opinion, but we'll see.
Well, my opinion is that it's the best time to get the room you've been dreaming about right now during Steinhoffel's Buy More. get more sale. You can get a Stanley Quencher tumbler when you spend $699 or more. And I know that there are some girls in my house that love those Stanley Quencher tumblers. If you spend $1,999, you'll get the Quencher and a $100 MasterCard. And if you spend $2,999, you'll get the Quencher and the $200 MasterCard. You buy more, you get more. And if you use Steinhoffel's 36-month financing, it makes that dream room just that much more affordable. It's the Buy More, Get More sale this weekend only at Steinhoffel.